I often think about the Sermon on the Mount, that if you and I had been there, we would have perhaps known the Jewish law, and here was Jesus making it even more difficult. He was not speaking about follow this law, follow that law, follow the other. He was saying it's your motivation that makes the difference. It's what's going on inside you that makes the difference. And there were plenty of people there who, like Paul, as we've just heard in Philippians, could say, blameless as far as the law was concerned. But what Jesus was saying was much deeper. He wanted to deal with motivation. And if you and I are still in the same position as those people on the mountain listening to Jesus, we could be struggling because they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the way of fulfilling those even steeper commands that Jesus was giving. We have been given that way. And I'd just like to read a couple of, what for me again, are favorite passages. Towards the end of Jesus' ministry, not long before he was crucified, in fact, just before, he was talking to the disciples, the 12 particularly. So let me just read a couple of passages from John 14 and a little bit from John 16, where he is talking about the way in which we can meet those commandments, the way in which we can fulfill what he asks us to do. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I could stop and go into lots of words, but this word helper is a word that means advocate, someone who is called alongside to help. And I get the feeling of an arm around my shoulder. That sort of helper. That he may be with you forever. I'm going to come back to it again, but Jesus is saying he. I don't want to go into a Greek lesson, but the Greek word for spirit is pneuter, an it word, if you like. But Jesus, throughout this passage and throughout the passage in John 16, very, very pointedly uses the Greek word he, masculine, not pneuter. He is talking about a person, not a thing. He is talking about a member of the Godhead, God himself, not someone's described it as a sweet agency from above or something like that. That is such an undercutting of who the Holy Spirit is. He is the person who reveals Jesus to us and forms Jesus in us. I won't go on too much, I must read on. That is the Spirit of truth. Truth, not make-believe, not things you would like it to be, but what actually is. The word truth means that which cannot escape notice. It just is there. It won't go away. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. Who does he mean? He abides with you? Jesus himself is who's abiding with them. So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit is me in a different way. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that point, he hadn't died. At that point he hadn't been buried and resurrected. But now he has that resurrection and glorified life. And he says, because I live, you will live also. Talking into their future, our present. In that day you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And here we're back to the commandments in the next verse, the things that Jesus asks us to do. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. That's a bit steep, isn't it? In other words, if we have his commandments but don't keep them, we're proving that we don't love him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Excuse me. The disciples thought that Jesus was going to kick the Romans out and become the king of Israel, and it was all going to be wonderful. The kingdom of God was going to be established on earth right then and there. They went on with that strange idea right after the resurrection. Eventually they got the picture. Lord, what happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Same again. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. He goes on about that, doesn't he? He's making the point that the test of love is obedience. And the word which you hear is not mine, it's the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, again, that masculine word, the person, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. We would be stuck without the work of the Holy Spirit. We would have no hope of following the Sermon on the Mount without the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And one of my really simple but favourite verses that comes just a couple of chapters later, and Jesus still talking about the Spirit of truth and still calling him he, not allowing the disciples to think that the Spirit is an it. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, is John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And I've often realized that the Holy Spirit isn't a signpost saying, hey, the truth is over there, go that way. The Holy Spirit is saying, come on, come with me. I'll lead you into it. So that's what he does. He leads us into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives.